Hey, girl bosses, welcome to season 5, episode 3 of Hashtag Girl Boss. This is your host, Zoya.
And this is your host, Alana. We hope everything's going well. And today on our podcast, we have a featured speaker on air. Her name is Mrs. Katrina Chanel. She's a best-selling author, mother, wife, U.S. Air Force, military veteran, and a entrepreneur. So, Miss Katrina, would you like to introduce yourself further?
Sure. Thank you, ladies, so much for having me on your podcast today. So as these beautiful ladies already, I mean, you already did such a great job. I don't know how I can really top that. But so my name is Katrina Chanel. That is my pen name. But my actual name is Katrina Burris. I am a military veteran, as they said, originally from Fayetteville, North Carolina. I am a mother, a wife of two beautiful boys. Gabriel and CJ, 7 and 2. So I'm definitely a boy mom. They keep me busy. My 9 to 5 job, I am a clinical lab director for the government, which I really enjoy doing. And next month, well, actually, let's see, 26 days and counting, I'll be graduating with my Doctor of Health Science degree. So I'm really excited about
Wow, that's so cool.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're so successful. Just listening to your amazing accomplishments, it's so inspiring.
Thank
And you haven't
you.
even gotten started yet, so I can't wait to get through this interview with you. Okay, so to get started, let's just start off with the first question. What is your organization about, or what do you exactly do?
I recently in 2019. I decided after going to some women's empowerment events and kind of circling through the, I guess, women's empowerment network, found that there was a need for women that were, per se, underdogs in that particular genre. A lot of times, if people don't know you or you aren't well known or you aren't in a certain group or a certain clique or a certain network, a lot of times you get overlooked. And I myself found myself in that position a lot, just kind of trying to break barriers and, talk with other women that were successful because, they always tell us align yourselves with women that are where you want to go, align yourself with women that can take you where you need to go, and things like that. But the part they leave out is how hard that can be sometimes, right? And how
Definitely.
discouraging that can be. So I found that there wasn't really a space for mothers and women that were wearing multiple hats, being mothers, being wives, being businesswomen, women trying to create brands. So I also found that in that they were sad, they were struggling to be empowered, right? And then they were depleted. Like I found myself empty a lot of days. And to be very transparent, some days I still do, but that's how Become Her was born. So, Become Her, Her stands for happy, empowered, and renewed. And I wanted to create a brand that encouraged women and primarily focused on helping them find happiness despite all the hats they wear, the many challenges we face, and things of that nature. And then through those challenges, still be empowered to keep going, whether that be business-wise, family, marriage, motherhood, whatever, their niche was, just staying empowered to keep doing that because some days it's a struggle. Let's be real about it. It's a struggle some days. And then also wanting them, even include myself, giving them tools and tips on how to renew their spirit after tragedy. So I am a domestic violence, suicide, and childhood trauma survivor. And I wanted to create a platform for women and men, for that matter, to kind of get an example of what's next after trauma. So that's how Become Her was born. And the initial inaugural series happened 45 days after I had that vision.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's really fast.
It is. So in 45 days, I just kind of put my head to the ground and I didn't have any sponsors. I didn't have any monetary support. I basically funded the whole event out of my pocket. And even through that process of wanting to birth, become her, I met a lot of challenges like lack of support, you know, people telling me, oh, you're not going to be able to accomplish that. I don't know how you're going to do that in 45 days. Most people, it takes them a year to curate an event and this and that, you know. But I didn't let that stop me. I didn't let it deter me. I said, you know what? God has given me this vision. And if he gave it to me, he's going to give me the provision. So let's keep moving.
That is so inspiring. Honestly, I mean, you can already tell how much you've been through. And of course, there's days that people lack motivation. And it's so amazing that you just saw a problem that women face and took a step to help serve that problem. It's so inspiring.
Thank you.
And as Zoya mentioned, you've taken a lot of steps, you know, to bring like equality and beat down barriers for women. And we saw that you've actually published some books based on that topic. And so could you elaborate a little bit on your books and maybe like the purpose behind some of them?
Sure. So at this point, I've published 3 books. And as you stated already, I've become a best-selling author thanks to Swiner Publishing Company. So just a quick little plug and shout out to them.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So if you know anybody wanting to write a book and they need a publisher, Swiner Publishing is the way to go. So my first 3 books were motivational memoirs, if you will. They are chronicling different stages of my life. So the first book, Protected for Purpose, kind of covers the first few years of my life from birth to kind of, I guess, early adulthood, if you will. And it talks about my struggle with childhood trauma, being molested at a young age, and also some abandonment issues that I faced when my mom, abandoned me at the age of 5, and kind of how all of those situations kind of started to formulate who I was becoming throughout my life. And then the second book, The Transition of She, picks up at that kind of young adulthood stage and matriculates into my later years when I actually tried to commit suicide and dealt a lot with domestic violence, which actually nearly led to my demise. And then the third book, The Karma of Yes, kind of takes those 2 books and it kind of talks about when I realized that I was a part of my own problem. And I talk about how saying yes to the wrong things or the wrong people or the wrong situations can actually lead you down your own road of destruction. And as people, we have to be courageous and brave enough to embrace those moments, not as failures, but as learning opportunities. So those are what those 3 books are about. I'm actually working on my 4th book currently, also to be published through Swiner Publishing, and it's entitled Finding Her, The Journey to Happiness, Empowerment, and Renewal. And that book is pretty much going to talk about just the stage where I am since The Karma of Yes. Now I'm, you know, from domestic violence survivor to married, childhood trauma survivor to now I have 2 boys who I have to train and raise and, you know, teach them the way and learn to love them properly. It talks about the different successes that I've had and then also some of the failures too, mm-hmm. and just how the journey to finding happiness, empowerment, and renewal has been a success for me, but also some of the failures that I've experienced along the way as well, because we as women, girl bosses, entrepreneurs, shepreneurs, motivational speakers, whatever our niche is, we need to tell people, this sounds great, looks great on paper, but it's hard and you're going to get some disappointment. And that's the part people don't want to talk about. And that's the part that is discouraging to me, right? When you're looking at these different moguls and, you know, brands, you're like, oh, and you get all sucked into the flowery, but it's not flowery all the time.
Yeah, for sure. As you know, failures always do have to come first before the successes come. Yeah, for sure. And I really, really admire that, you know, you put your story out there for so many people. It definitely takes a lot of courage, and that's really admirable for sure, you know, to put your story up for so many people, other women to, you know, look up to. That's very great thing.
It's scary too, though, because with that comes a lot of judgment too. because some people that don't understand, you know, I've gotten feedback like, oh, she's attention seeking, or she's clout chasing, or she's this, or she's that, but they don't understand, you know, the pain behind the testimony and the purpose. Me sharing it is because I want people to have the examples that I didn't have, and that you can experience certain things, but it doesn't have to define who you are.
Yeah, for sure. Despite the people, you know, who throw out that hate sometimes, at least knowing that, you know, you're supporting a few people out there, I guess, does make the change.
Exactly. That's exactly right, for sure.
Yep. And, you know, talking about everything you've accomplished and everything that you've been working on so far, can you talk a little bit more about your current projects, for example, your Becoming Her speaker series?
Sure. So last year we planned to do Become Her as kind of a quarterly event. So we had the first Become Her in January of last year, over 150 attendees, sold out, first series ever. We had news coverage, you know, we had live podcast interviews on site. It was amazing, right? So yeah. I wanted to duplicate that because after that event, so many women that were there talked about how much it changed their life, how much they learned, how they were able to connect with different women and network. So I tried to bring her back in June, but then what happened? COVID. So COVID shut the whole operation down. And I honestly was at the verge of just like, maybe it's just not meant, because we tried to postpone it to a later date. And then COVID just kept dragging out. I said to myself, she must be an angry woman, because every time we think that it's gone, it comes back. It's like that bad breakup where they just don't want to leave.
But I've heard that you're gonna have another one soon, right?
Yeah, I am. So I actually ended up scheduling the second annual Become Her series on actually the day before I was scheduled to do it last year, which is June the 5th of this year. And last year we did it in Cary, but I don't want to kind of close myself off to one target audience. So I want to branch out a little bit. So I decided to take the series to Durham, North Carolina. So we're going to be hosting the Become Her speaker series, Finding Her Beyond COVID event on June the 5th at Provident 1898, which is located in downtown Durham at the NC Mutual Building. And this time we're going to have a special musical performance by an award-nominated neo-soul artist that is local to the area. Very excited about that.
That sounds so much fun.
Oh, yeah. We have vendors that are going to be there for, like, pop-up shops. We have some dope speakers. We have some male speakers this time, which is different than last year. So just super excited about that for sure.
Yeah, I wish I could attend. It'd be so cool if we could attend too.
Well, come on. Where are you guys at?
We're all the way in Texas.
Listen, one of our sponsors is from Houston, Texas. That's going to be here in June. It's called Blunt Wine Therapy. They're a wine company, and they're actually one of our event sponsors. And they're going to be traveling from Houston.
Of course, we'll definitely think about it. I mean, it may be difficult, but it'd be such an amazing experience to be there. So,
and even if you can't come physically, we're going to have a virtual option as well. We're going to be live on Facebook, live on Instagram Live. So you'll have some other opportunities to tune in and catch pieces of it. We'll have videographers there. And so even if you can't physically be there, we can even send you a highlight reel too.
Oh, that would be amazing. Honestly, that media coverage would be great. So we'll be sure to tune in through Facebook then.
Yeah, for sure.
We can't make it. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll be sure to make sure that we tag you guys and give you a shout out and everything taking the time to even talk with me today. Like, that's amazing, actually.
Oh, no, it's our pleasure to have you here. All right, so moving on. Lana, do you want to take the next question?
Yep. So, you know, as you were talking a lot about what you've been doing and all your personal experience, I can see that you have a lot of purpose and drive that's going into it. And so you've talked about, I guess, a little that, you know, influenced like the way you grew up and stuff. But did you have any particular role models that like influenced you to start all of this as you were becoming older?
Oh, that's a great question. So I left home at the age of 17, heading off to college, and I didn't really have very strong family ties. You know, while my father did take custody of my brother and I when we were at a young age, he did remarry. So I have a bonus mom. I don't call her a stepmom. I call her a bonus mom. but, you know, kind of because of the nature of the breakup between my dad and my biological mother, quite naturally, it, you know, created somewhat of a rift between myself and my bonus mom. So areas where we could have supported or had a cultivated a better relationship, there were a lot of barriers there. So unfortunately, I didn't have a lot of role models growing up. I would say that as I started to kind of go through college, a lot of the older students there that I met became good role models for me. Early on, I was exposed to sorority life. I'm a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. And actually my very first exposure to sorority life was from a young lady that was a Delta. And she actually started me on the road to wanting to be more and wanting to be a better woman and wanting to be accomplished, because she not only was she smart, but she was beautiful. She served her community. She had a passion to help others. She actually was my biology tutor for some of my harder classes, because I was a biology major in undergrad. And it was that experience with her that actually kind of started to propel me to looking for more women that fit her demographic, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense for sure. Yeah, as you were mentioning, like one of your peers was your, you know, role model. So I guess that like reinforces that it doesn't have to be exactly, you know, someone who you look up to, but just someone who holds your like hand through the way and like, you know, guides you. And so
yeah,
I find that really great that, you know, there's someone like that. So
yeah, for sure. For sure.
Yeah, so going back through like all of your experiences so far and like your journey through starting your speaker series and writing all the books that you've written, what is one thing you wish you knew before starting all of that, or just starting your career in general as you grew up?
Ooh, one thing I wish I knew. I wish I knew how to better utilize my resources. I think that the biggest hang up for women seeking to excel and grow is lack of resources. And it's not that the resources aren't there, it's just knowing how to tap into them. And, you know, now as I'm going through my career, both professionally and personally, I'm learning that the more you learn, the more you grow. And even though it takes some investment of time and some patience, because, you know, like, when I became a lab director, I had never been a lab director before. So I had to take professional development courses. I had to watch, listen to podcasts, things like that. I had to do a lot of reading, a lot of research. And I had to draw from my previous experiences within the lab to kind of create the lab director I wanted to be, right? Mm-hmm. Same thing with my personal endeavors as well. It's kind of like I'm backpedaling a little bit, because now I'm trying to cultivate relationships and tap into resources that I really needed early on, but I just didn't have the examples. I didn't have the people there, the network. I didn't have the opportunity to connect with people. I wasn't really in the scene. I wasn't going places. You know, I wasn't in the room with these people that had different networks and different resources. So it's almost as if now, you know, I'm out there in the network that they've been in for however long. You know, at this time, they're veterans in the game, and they're looking at me like, who this new girl and what is she doing? Like, we don't know her, you know?
Yeah,
I really wish I had known the importance of being present in those moments and having a seat at those tables, really.
Yeah, no, I mean, life could throw a lot of opportunities and, you know, resources at you. Sometimes they may be right in front of you and sometimes they may not. So it's important to even go look for them if there really aren't, and, you know, make sure that you have that community to network with. Which is what you're doing right now through your speaker series. You're inspiring so many women to network with each other and learn more and grow from each other too.
Yeah, and that's super important. And even to piggyback on that, something else that is really, really important to me, and I can't impress it upon other people enough, I don't want to be a brand that has just this sparkly brand that looks good. And it's like, I like to have fun. We have a great time, you know, at my events, my book. Is my events, but I not only want to inspire women to connect, I want to inspire them to stay connected. Like, I don't want them to get to my event, meet some dope woman that, you know, if they want to be a principal and then they meet one of my speakers that's already a principal, like, I don't want them to connect with the event, get two or three tips, and then she walks out that room with nothing. And then the principal is like, I saw you at the event, but yes, it's, I don't really want to connect with you like that. I don't want that experience for my guests. I don't want that experience when I go places. So a large part of Become Her now and going forward is just really pressing into the ladies and men, for that matter, get connected, stay connected. It doesn't always have to necessarily be for a business purpose, but you can serve another purpose in that person's life. You know, they could be going through something you've already been through, and you can speak into their life and empower them and encourage them and get them through something. But you won't know that unless you take off the veil and have the conversation.
That's definitely sure. Like, if you don't open the, you know, glass top, you're not going to see what's inside the jar, right? So you got to keep those connections. You have to venture and you need to get to know people, like, over time, because things do take time. It doesn't happen overnight. It doesn't happen in one conversation. So yeah, for sure. You do have to keep those connections. And you mentioned, like, I guess how it was a challenge at first, but, you know, obviously seeing, you know, where you are now, there's a lot of successes that also came, I guess, once you realized that. So in terms of that, like, what's one of your favorite memories, I guess, as a part of, you know, being very connected with Becoming Her?
One of my favorite memories, honestly, is the very first time, the day of Become Her, I had a team of volunteers that, you know, volunteered to come out and help, whether it be greeting, hosting, setting up, things like that. Again, a lot of things I did myself because I didn't have a lot of sponsors. I didn't know how to get sponsors. I didn't know how to get money. You know, a lot of it I spent out of pocket, right? So as a first time, I guess, event curator, as you would call me, I guess, I was really scared that nobody was going to come. And so I was getting confirmations that people were buying tickets. I was seeing it. I knew I had vendors. I knew that. But for some reason, I just had this feeling like, yo, people, they don't know me like that. And
yeah,
I look around.
That,
and I'm like, go ahead.
There's always that fear, like, this is the first time I'm going to do it. Is anyone going to come up? Is it going to fail? Always running through your head, especially the first time.
Yeah, so I was backstage, right? And I was nearly in tears, to be truthful. I was like, oh gosh, I'm going to walk out here. It's going to be like 5 or 6 people. So one of my speakers, she's very empowering, and she saw I was kind of anxious. And my favorite memory that sticks out in my mind, and, you know, I get a little emotional thinking about it, is I was a wreck. And she pulled me to the side. She said, "What is wrong with you?" And I said, "I don't know if people are going to come, you know." And she was like, come here a second. And she said, I don't remember her exact words, but she was basically saying, you know, don't doubt yourself and don't devalue what you have to offer people, you know, because the people that are meant for you are going to come. So she walked me down this hallway, and she stood there and she pulled the curtain back because there was a curtain from where we were going to walk out. And the room was full and there were people standing around the back because there were no more seats. And she said, look at this. And I just remember feeling like, dang, they came to me, you know.
I can like feel the happiness as you're talking about it. Like for some reason, like I can picture the entire event as you're telling us right now. It's so beautiful.
That's exactly what's going through my head. Like I see you like opening and it's so happy. Yeah. Like, it's like, I don't know. If you could see me now, you would see a big smile.
Yeah. I just remember in that moment feeling like, wow, God, you did it. Like you said you were going to send the people and you sent them. And it was crazy because I lost my voice that morning too. So I didn't have a voice for the event really. I just remember that moment. I just really remember that moment. And it changed the trajectory of how I felt of what I could accomplish.
Yeah, so, for sure. Sometimes so self-doubt. Nice about that. Yeah, sometimes self-doubt, I guess, is our worst enemy. But, you know, having someone that empowering next to us, I guess, will, as it did for you, like, help you go through it. And so I can see why that's your favorite memory. Because over here, like, I'm all smiles.
Same here. Yeah. Talking about you know, your first time and everything, so as you went on with everything you've been doing, what do you think are some qualities you developed along the way?
Multitasking for sure. And then also learning to balance my vulnerability, meaning for so, because I'm 40 years old, so for the majority of my life I've lived an open, like wide open as the sea book life, right? And in going through these different situations and challenges, both professionally and personally, I've learned that while there are things I need to share, I need to be very mindful of what I share and how I share it and the timing of it. Because the main thing I'm even learning right now in this moment, even as Become Her is coming up, everything is in God's timing, and it's going to happen when it's supposed to happen. You're going to be connected to the people that you're supposed to be connected to when you're supposed to be connected to them. Because even most recently, you know, I tried to connect with some other women like in this genre to get advice, to get help, and I got shut down, you know, pretty much, not like in a mean way, but just like, you know, like ghosted, no response, stuff like that. And I felt that self-doubt coming in, like, ki-ki-ki, here I am, you know. And I had to say, you know what, And then I had to look at the people that are actually in my circle now and just talk through it with them. Talk like, hey, Katrina, get back focused. Get back focused. Your story is for the people that are for you, and you focus on that. Don't get derailed. So I would say that even right now, that's what I'm learning is the balance and respecting that everything comes in a certain time.
Yeah, for sure. I really love the quality that you mentioned. And it's so important to have that, you know, balance you were talking about and know like your limits and where to stop. And it's really cool because it shows that you're like analyzing the people around you and you know how much to share and how much to not. And it's great to see that development in you too.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And I also, to make sure that I kind of remain even keeled, something else that I learned along the way is that what you don't do well, you find someone who does, and you either partner with them or you pay them.
Yeah, no, I mean, of course, there's obviously going to be people who are better than you in some way or in some specific thing. So, I mean, you could obviously learn from them or take them as a role model for sure.
Yeah, teamwork is definitely, you know, big events and trying to get things together, because how many can one person do? We don't have 10 hands. We don't have 10 legs.
Right. We don't.
Yeah. And so talking about these qualities, you know, that you developed along the way, you know, for sure, you know, we've read a little bit about you before getting on here, and I could definitely see those qualities, you know, have shown through and so have also prompted you to be able to do what you have done to this day. But how, using those qualities, do you think you're going to develop, you know, your future goals, or essentially like what are your future goals and efforts, do you think?
So really, I know this is probably gonna sound really cliche, but I really want to be God driven and do things by his design, because when I start putting my hands in it, I mess it up every time. But if I had my way, and he asked me like, hey, so what do you want to do? You know, I would tell him that I wanted to create a movement and not just a brand. Like, I would really like to see Become Her come to Houston or go to Florida or go from state to state and highlight, you know, other boss women, men, and empower them and give them, you know, tips and tricks for whatever may be going on at that present time. Like right now, you know, we're still in the middle of a global pandemic. So a lot of my speakers and guests at this year's Become Her series, they're going to be talking about topics to help people still find happiness. Like, we have a clinical psychologist that's going to be speaking about mental health and the importance of, you know, getting the help you need and not being afraid to either get counseling or get in support groups and things like that, because a lot of people, including myself, have lost family members to COVID. So we need that extra push to kind of get back in our routines again. And then they're also going to be talking about ways to stay empowered, because a lot of people have lost jobs, incomes, and families are struggling, you know, families that weren't ever on assistance before are now standing in line to get food and nutrition benefits or WIC for their kids. And they are, you know, were once very successful people. So just trying to talk to them about empowering them through that. And then for those of us that have lost family members or husbands, wives, or jobs, or kids at home, and we figuring out how to be a teacher and we never were a teacher and wanted to be one, how do you get renewed back to yourself? You know, how do you get back into the swing of things once things kind of get back to normal? So I want a movement that speaks to the time that we're in, whenever that time is, so that myself and those that are with me can be a light to whoever gets sent to us, really.
Yeah, for sure. You know, seeing that you don't want Becoming Her to just be a brand, but rather like a change, you know, in the society we live in, especially during that time. I think that's very fascinating. And that's like an honesty. It's kind of like a new concept I've heard of. You know, a lot of people, when they create a movement or, you know, create any type of, I guess, empowerment platform, you know, it's all about, you know, keeping that brand and then motivating it rather than actually, you know, being more focused on creating like a movement for a specific time. So I think that's very cool that you thought about it, you know, that way, like change rather than, you know, a brand.
Yes, platform for change.
And given your passion for it, like, I can definitely see that that's something you'll be able to accomplish in the future. And I'd love to see that.
Oh, thank you. Sweet of you to say.
Yeah, no, and as Lalana, my co-host, mentioned, that we read about you a little bit online before getting on here, and we noticed that you labeled yourself as a shepreneur. So what prompted you to label yourself as a shepreneur?
Because I'm not an entrepreneur. Like, I don't have a business. Like, I'm not selling goods and services and products. I don't have tangible products, you know, and what I have to offer people is something that you can't really put a price tag on. So I can't coin myself as an entrepreneur because I'm not running a business. So I said, well, what else can I be to kind of speak to what I'm offering people? Because I, in my regular life, and I really feel so strongly about this, I love people from within so they know it's real. And you can't put a price tag on love and support. You just can't. Like, you just can't. And that's where Shepreneur was born, because I'm moving, I'm providing a service, but there's no cost to it, really, beyond people purchasing a ticket to come to the event. But the things that you take away from the event, my hope and my prayer is that it'll carry you through a lifetime.
Yeah.
And that you'll be able to look back on an experience or an encounter with me somewhere down the road and say, oh, I remember when I went to her book signing and I met such and such. Or I remember when I went to become her and, you know, I was in this place in my life and now I'm here. And just a quick little testimony. My host this year, she coins herself as the queen curator. Her name is Crystal E. Taylor. And she's, you know, very well accomplished. She orchestrates and curates the Black Farmers Market, both in Durham and Raleigh. She is the creator of event festival, music festival called Beats and Bars. And we're going to be sharing her testimony as a part of our, you know, journey to become her, if you will. And last year she was actually a guest and she's going to share about how her experience as a guest propelled her to where she is now in her life, to where now she's a host. So that is the kind of change and movement I want to see. Like, success to me is not how much money I'm making, how many people can see me, you know, how many followers I have. Because it's great to have a lot. Do I want to have a lot of followers one day? Sure. But what's most important to me is planting a seed in the life of someone else and then looking at it blossom and grow and then watch them be able to take that and then help somebody else. That's success to me.
That was an amazing closing to everything you just said. Like, it's so admirable to hear you say, and you're such a great leader that you're saying, like, you want to be able to inspire so many people around you and empower them instead of just worrying about how much fame you're getting and how much greater your platform's growing. Instead, you're caring about how many people you're reaching out to, which is really inspiring.
Well, thank you. That's the goal. Really the goal.
Definitely. I know, like, we've only been on here with you for around 30 minutes, but I can already tell how much you enjoy doing what you're doing, and I can tell you just want to continue and grow and help people out with your story and your empowerment, which is amazing.
Yeah, I really do.
And piggybacking off of, you know, what Zoya said, and I know you mentioned that, you know, you want to plant seeds of other people and see them grow and see them be successful. But, you know, with piggybacking off of what Zoya said, I think in your own way, I think you're your own seed, because you've definitely blossomed and you're definitely, you know, very successful in trying to bring change, especially for woman empowerment. So, yeah, I think that's really great. You're your own flower.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, and our podcast really stresses like leadership qualities. And I think one that you possess that's just amazing is what I just mentioned, is you thinking about others before yourself. Instead of thinking about, you know, your fame, you're trying to reach out to more people and trying to, you know, empower them, which is a great quality to possess.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, so would you like to add anything else before we wrap up here?
Sure. So I would love to reach more people. And how do you reach more people? Unfortunately, we're in that millennial age of technology. So I would love for your audience to follow me on social media, on Twitter and Facebook and all the things. I'm just now kind of learning about the whole Snapchat world. So I'm not really up there, but they can find me on Instagram at Katrina Chanel 2. Also the same handle on Twitter. On Facebook, they can follow the Become Her Speaker Series page at Inspired to Find Her. And also they can follow my author page at Katrina Chanel _ and the number 30 to learn all the things that I'm doing for my books, upcoming events, book signings, community service projects, and things of that nature.
Amazing. Yes. And when we release this episode, of course, we'll be linking all the socials. So everyone just watch out for that. And also, your books, I believe, are available on Amazon to purchase. Am I right?
Yes, they're available on Amazon, Kindle, and Barnes.
Okay, so if you're interested in that, please go check that out. But yeah, it was a pleasure to have you here, Ms. Katrina. I had a wonderful time talking to you today.
Yep, and exactly what she said. Today was a very wholesome episode. Getting to know your journey, your path to empowerment and empowering others was definitely something a #girlboss would do.
Thank you. Thank you. A big shout out to you guys having me on all the way from Texas. I really am honored to be on your show today, so I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you so thank much. You. Thank you for your time. I hope
thank
you have
you.
A
and please shoot
day.
Us an email. Shoot us an email to be sure we connect with you for the live stream if you aren't able to make it to North Carolina. Don't forget
for
to do
sure.
that.
We'll definitely reach out to you about that. June 5th, I'll mark our calendars for that.
Yep.
Okay, ladies. Well, you have a wonderful evening.
You too.
You
thank
too.
You
thank
so
you.
Much. Bye,
thank
everyone.
You. And bye, guys.